Welcome to the Shake Podcast, powered by Sports Cannabis, and I'm your host, Ryan Purvis. We have entered Season 7 with a whole new lineup and new guests while still taking a deep dive into all things cannabis and the representatives pushing the industry forward. Today, athletes around the world are using their platforms to normalize the sports cannabis conversation and to break the stigma. Stay up to date with the latest in sports cannabis news and learn more about athletes leading the charge on www.sportscannabis.ca. The trend towards normalizing cannabis is not specific to one country. Join the movement and let's grow the community together. We are welcomed by two absolute legends from the Ottawa region, Raheem Dalla and Angelo Mascheri from Hybrid Farms. Welcome, fellas.
Thanks for having us, guys.
Thank you so much.
And you know what? Obviously, it's an absolute pleasure just to have you on this call. A little bit of a backstory. I know Angelo and I know Raheem from in the Ottawa region just over the past couple of years, kind of crossing paths, whether it's talking medical or rec. Either way, it's so nice to just kind of shoot the shit about cannabis here today. And I hope you guys enjoy. But before we kind of get right down into it, medical and rec markets, I'm going to allow you guys to kind of introduse yourselves.
So, like you said, Ryan, I've been in the cannabis world for many years now. Started my journey with National Access Cannabis many moons ago. Again, here in Ottawa, not too far from where we are now here in Westboro. From there, worked for some licensed producers, some other places. I currently work and consult with Zigzag as well. So it's never a dull day. Cannabis has been a passion of mine since age 15. Then a few years back, I was lucky enough to run into to Raheem here, created where we are now, which is Hybrid Farm, Canada's first and only compounding pharmacy specializing in medical cannabis and alternative therapies.
Yeah, my name's Raheem. I'm the pharmacist here. And, you know, I kind of want to give you a backstory on how Hybrid Farm was born, because it might give you a little insight as to, like, how we met, how this works, right?
But yeah, I'm actually curious to, like, how you guys came together on this one, because I see both of your passions in almost different realms, but they collide so well.
Yeah, I graduated 2009 from Mass College of Pharmacy in Boston. My dad was a pharmacist. He owned like four pharmacies around the Ottawa area, outer skirts. It was natural. Like, I'm going to follow his footsteps. So ended up going to school in Boston, worked out there for a while, lived in Hawaii, worked for Walmart, and right after college, just, you know, learn how to scuba dive, all that good stuff. And then moved back. In 2013, got my MBA in the States, moved back in 2013. And then it was the plan to, like, take over the business and start kind of running over, being manager, being owner, expanding it. But in 2016, my dad ended up getting cancer. And it was like stage 4 colorectal cancer. And it developed pretty fast. Like, he progressed really rapidly. So at that time, I was like researching hard. Like, I'm going to look at all the medical cannabis options. Like, that's when Metrum was around back in the day. So I ended up starting him on that, just to help with his pain and inflammation, nausea, vomiting, like typical symptoms you're going to get with high dose chemo. And, you know, like, after that, like, it started to snowball. Like, patients would ask me questions. Our friends would be like, how'd you do that? What'd you do? You know, if I could convince my mom and dad, which are, like, you know, very Muslim old school parents, like, don't drink, don't do anything. Like, if I could convince them, like, look, this is really medicinal now. This isn't for fun anymore. Let's try this and see if it helps. And it did, you know, it helped. It helped with his, like, reduction in, like, morphine. It helped with nausea. Like, he enjoyed it. I think he actually had a point. There was a point where I got him still. I'm not gonna lie. Like, I gave him a dose. I took the same dose. I'm like, okay, I'm definitely still, you must be fine. But it was a great point. Like, I was bedside, and it was such a great moment where we were connecting on a different level that we never have. Right. And when you're on a deathbed like that, like, he would start opening up, we started really connecting. Wow. I started telling him about this idea. Like, now that I'm not with your pharmacy, I'm going to open my own pharmacy. It's going to be this type of concept where I'm going to introduce cannabis and emerging therapies. And he's like, you need to go run with that, see how far you can get with it. And then shortly after he passed, and then that's when I obviously left the family business, opened this up, and, you know, met him. And that was funny, because, like, I was trying to find a technician, right? Like, I'm a pharmacist, I need a tech or a pharmacy assistant. So I put an ad out, and, like, was it Indeed?
Yeah, it was Indeed. Yeah.
So I put an ad out, met a bunch of bunch of no-goes. Angelo came along and I'm like, you know, I didn't think to hire someone that did have absolutely no experience in pharmacy, but I think it was the best thing to do because it's blending those two worlds. Like you said, he had that whole world of cannabis and he had that, you know, that culture and that, that deep rootedness about the entire cannabis culture. And then he also had the experience with National Access Cannabis. He helped. So he was in that realm. And I was like, I definitely need that to bring this concept together.
Right.
And then the rest is history.
It's really nice to hear everyone's story behind cannabis. And I think a lot of people are in this industry for the right reasons, but we can call bullshit on the people that are in the industry for whatever other reasons. And I really resonate well with people that are talking about cannabis and how it's impacted their lives, but telling the story. And that's why we're kind of even here on the podcast today, like telling our stories and being able to discuss cannabis on how it's impacted our lives and why we're so damn passionate on what we're doing now. Raheem, so I really appreciate you sharing that backstory, and it's pretty incredible where you guys are at the farm right now. And now, Angelo, kind of throwing it back over to you with your passion of the plant. I see it on the gram all the time. You're very creative. Yeah. Your branding, your marketing, your sales push, like you bring a lot of niche items to this table. Where does your passion kind of sit with in cannabis? How did it get started? Obviously, I'm guessing it's at an early age, but just maybe walk through your passion with cannabis so far.
Yeah, definitely. No, I'd say it started at age 15 for me. And I'd say the biggest entrance to cannabis for me was the culture of hip hop. So that's how I've raised my four children, is using that as a subculture of the four elements of hip hop, and just the foundations of just family and community and calling out bullshit, like you said a few minutes ago, right?
Yeah.
I have no trouble, you know, speaking my mind, and sometimes it gets us into trouble, but for the most part, I think it does advance us, because if not us, then who at certain points, right? So I come from a medical side, not pharmacy. I'm a former nurse's aide and physician's assistant. So I dealt with 10 to 12 doctors in one day. So I would see things like prescription increases, dosage increases, as opposed to other solutions or options. And I was working in medical mid-20s, I'd say. So combining those two worlds really is what started me off. True story, I was sitting in scrubs working for two doctors in the Ottawa area, and a fax came in. And I picked up the fax and I saw a little logo on the corner that said National Access Cannabis. Bells and whistles went off when I saw cannabis. I literally, shit you not, got out of my chair and walked a few blocks down with the fax in my hand, in my scrubs, walked in and said, "This is from you guys. Explain to me who you are and what you do." 3 days later, I was the manager of that location.
No way.
Yeah. So I'm never here to poo-poo anyone's past work or grind, you know, but there were some issues there, and I helped solidify things like hiring nurses, mm-hmm. Doing away with drug testing, things that just weren't really necessary, weren't advancing the plant as a medicine.
Right.
And you don't have to consume to be in this industry. You don't have to have a plethora of hip hop knowledge and fundamentals that I do. But yeah, I'll admit that it helps. It helped me get my feet into doors that other people typically wouldn't be allowed into.
Yeah.
I've been blessed enough in hip hop to be connected. I've met my heroes. I've met Big Boy from Outkast. I've met Raekwon. I've met Ghostface. I just was talking to Red One from the Rascals a few weeks ago at the Lift After Party in Toronto. And when you look at the passion and the stance that hip hop has taken throughout these past decades, mm-hmm. That's really what speaks to me the most, right? So going back to community, if you want to make a difference starting in your community, so that's hence why we're here. I'm born and raised in Ottawa. I love my city. I think it's a great place to have this as a foundation. And this year is now our time to expand.
Ottawa is a very conservative city, right? It's very politics driven. It's very conservative, you know, a little bit more mute than other cities. That's why I like it's, like when you say you're passionate about Ottawa and you like Ottawa, it's like, if you can do this concept in Ottawa and people understand it and adapt to it and evolve with it, it can work in it.
Now let's lead it right into hybrid farms. I think you guys are well known across, obviously, of course, Ottawa, Ontario. I think the name's getting out across Canada as you guys expand. Give me a high level overview what hybrid farms is.
Yeah, so we are, you know, Canada's first compounded pharmacy specializing in like emerging therapies. So that includes cannabis, that will include MDMA, psilocybin, when those regulations come into play. You know, the special access program just kind of started being talked about and started to get launched.
Right.
And there are opportunities within that realm to kind of bring that to market and bring access to that. So, you know, we're all about obviously merging pharmaceutical world with, you know, plant-based world. And I think that's the biggest concept here. So we help patients get prescriptions. We have a clinic here. We do virtual consultations with patients, or they can even come into the pharmacy. We do regular prescriptions. So we get a lot of patients transferring in after they go down the cannabis path. So we can help them manage and monitor their medications, help them get off certain medications, help them really optimize their medication realm. So that's another piece. And then we also do compounding. And compounding is like, a lot of people still don't know what that is, which is fascinating to me as a pharmacist, but I guess, you know. but it's where you can take a bunch of different, you know, substances, a bunch of different molecules and combine it into one. So it's a really, I see it as a harm reduction tool. So if you were taking like 5 pain meds for something that could be treated topically, we can combine those 5 medications into a topical, and then you apply that to the area. So there are ways to do that. Like, for example, we have a patient with who's on an SSRI as well as like a benzo, and they had a very hard time dose reducing because you'd go from like a 75 to a 37.5 to off. And those are big reductions. And anytime a patient goes to that, they may go through withdrawals. So this patient was getting withdrawals, they couldn't get off. We, as a compounding pharmacy, we converted that medication into a liquid so they can dose reduce by like even like 2 milligrams at a time over a course of a period. And we were also co-administering with CBD. So it was how stabilizing effect, having, you know, reduction in anxiety and just balancing it out. And it helped the patient get off a little. So those are kind of strategies you can use with a compounding pharmacy. And that's kind of where we see the future with Hybrid Pharm is a place where patients can get all types of medications, not just pharmaceuticals, not just cannabis.
Yeah. Right. Do you guys look at it like yourselves as more of just kind of natural medicine in general? Like, do you guys have open minds to, I know a lot of people looking into like Reiki and Bowen, like, is that something you guys still have conversations of, or more so the actual, the pharmaceutical products itself?
We have an open mind to anyone and anything. It's truly in our name, right? Hybrid Pharm. So we have patients who need pharmaceuticals to survive and live. They can't not take them. But it's our job to let them know there are other options should they qualify for it. Should they be someone who falls under, you know, that category? It's like, hey, did you know we potentially could replace A, B, and C with all natural options. Mm-hmm. And speaking even more to compounding, like when you break everything down, individual terpenes, individual cannabinoids, imagine those things in the hands of a pharmacist who truly is a mad scientist. When you give them these raw ingredients, that's where we can truly speak to this as an individual medicine. So
right.
If you like, we just brought in some CBG flower recently, which I'm really excited about. We have some different cannabinoid products coming to market because there's so much of this plant that in the hands of a pharmacist in a pharmacy, truly, 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 sky is the limit.
This is why Health Canada, they need to enable pharmacists to dispense, because once we get that right, then we can get the right to compound. If we can get the right to compound, we can really start individualizing therapy for patients.
So give us an update, like what's going on in the medical realm? Like, I know it might be hard to discuss, and I know there's multiple different frustrations, but like when it comes down to it here, what is the problem?
I'll give you my 2 cents from my point of view. This is more the cultural recreational side, let's say.
Yeah.
A lot of people using cannabis who are self-medicating are happy with their regimen and they don't need guidance, and that's more than fine, you know? When I was, you know, mid-20s experimenting and self-medicating, I thought I knew it all. Little did I know, there was still a lot to learn, right?
Yeah.
So when you look at these medical platforms that are succeeding, a lot of their main sales are still flower and pre-rolls. So we're not still truly speaking medicine to a degree. And
right.
Again, I'm sure I'll get some knocks in the comment about this, that, and the other, but it's a hard line to separate, because culturally, when people have been using this plant on their own for generations, And the problem with people thinking pharma is still big pharma, that's just one of the avenues that is kind of hindering us, right? The other issue is just that there's not a lot of medical staff on some of these platforms that you can contact, right, meaning the message or get an email conversation going. And in their defense, and from experience with past models that were medical but didn't work, and that was having a pharmacist, not in a pharmacy, but maybe on staff. Well, if your clinic day doesn't require that pharmacist's attention for 25 patients, you just paid a pharmacist 8 hours to sit in the corner. And 5-6 years ago when this was happening, pharmacists were not as educated as Raheem, for example, right? So there's just many boundaries where it's not truly being respected as medicine to the full degree. And that's no one's fault, because everyone's still trying to retain patients, to keep the lights on, to have things going. The biggest mistake I think that was made, that I learned when I met Raheem and why we did this, is that if you don't have someone to see in person and have that discussion you mentioned earlier, a lot of stuff goes unanswered and a lot of things fall through the cracks. That's why we offer something called the deep prescribing program. It's supervised assistance from a pharmacist to help reduce your synthetic medications and replace it with an alternative natural option like cannabis, or as pharmacy continues to evolve, you know, like functional mushroom. This is the house.
Special access.
This is why we built these four walls, is to house all of those options for people.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. I know this is an easy out. Everyone wants to blame the Cannabis Act for their failures and blame their Cannabis Act for, you know, everything that's going wrong in the industry. Yeah. But to a degree, I'm like, what are they doing? The Cannabis Act literally looks like Justin Trudeau's rushed sociology paper that he had to do overnight and hand in. That's what it looked like. It took you 4 years to come up with this legalization platform. There's a lot of things wrong with it. You know what I mean?
Like, when we were in contact with Health Canada to acquire our license, and it's, again, not to speak ill will, but when Health Canada asks us questions like, oh, can nurse practitioners sign a medical document? We're like, well, it's your rule, and the answer is yes. So like, you can, just with that piece of information, you can understand how much of a struggle it was for us, for them to wrap their head around it. The other side of that coin is people walking here every single day. We've been open for almost 4 years now. Raheem has a full pharmaceutical jacket on with, if you see behind us, it's medications and over the counter. And they still have the question of, are you a pharmacy?
Wow.
No, because there's the connection of cannabis.
Here's my degree. I don't know what else I can say. But.
So if you would have asked Angelo, who worked at National Access Cannabis many moons ago, if I'd still be doing cannabis 101s, I'd be like, well, no, we'll be light years ahead by now. But if anything, I'm doing them now more than ever, right?
Because so we're
exactly
cannabis naive population, right? And I think with the way it's rolled out and the way it's gone, I think they completely bypass pharmacy. And I know, like, I know kind of a little bit of the politics behind that, but guess what? Like, Uruguay was the first nation to ever fully legalize cannabis back in 2013. Guess what happened 4 years later? It went in pharmacy. It's because they knew they needed a medical model. And if you had a medical model before you had a retail model, then we would have that separation in that stream. And we're seeing this like now, like, let me give you some numbers here. Online OCS sold only about like $70 million last year. Retail stores, $350 million. There's obviously a massive gap between online sales and rec stores.
Yeah.
It's because people prefer to have that easy access. They want to jump in the car, go there down the street and get it, not wait in the mail, not do that. And there's a reason why registrations are going down. Like, it's because access is here.
Yeah.
You know, we just launched a bud tender survey. I think we gave that to you too, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so we're going to be publishing the data that we found on that, but it was overwhelming. Like, you know, about 25-33% of patients going into rec stores are asking medical questions.
Yeah,
they're there for medicine, not for fun.
Yeah.
So, like, I think their legislation needs to change, and you know, Health Canada needs to figure out that angle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like, you have AGCO coming out being the regulator, and then OCS being the wholesaler just makes no sense.
Right.
Why are there 700 cannabis stores? There's only 600 LCBOs. So clearly there's like a little conflict of interest.
Yeah. And I think everyone listening to this podcast right now can definitely probably hear it in all of our voices that it is very frustrating in cannabis, whether it's medical or rec. There's a lot of hurdles ahead. And speaking about medical specifically right now, let's roll this into something that I'm very curious about and something that I'm not too knowledgeable on is the DIN number. Raheem, do you want to talk about the drug identification number and how that kind of comes into play medically right now, kind of just where we're at with that and why that matters?
So every drug behind my shelf right over there has a DIN number. A DIN number is a drug identification number, and it gets awarded when a drug goes through the clinical trials and it gets approved by Health Canada for specific uses. So I'll give you a one-to-one oil in ethanol. It has a DIN number. It's called Stadex. It's been around for a while, for over 20 years. That has a DIN number because it's proven safety and efficacy, and it's proven uses for MS, spasticity, chemotherapy, nausea, chemo-induced nausea, vomiting, and I think chronic pain is creeped up on that list. So once you get that DIN number, then you can get insurance coverage. It could be on formularies such as like the Ontario Drug Benefit Formulary, ODB formulary, where seniors can access a giant list for covered medications. So I think the DIN number is like that all-encompassing, like a golden ticket where most providers will cover it and or provincial governments will cover it. So I think that's something that I think everyone will strive for. I think it's going to be a long while before we get to that point.
Is it possible, Raheem? Like, is it possible to have a DIN number on flour?
Flour, I don't know, because like, even like a lot of the oils and things like that, is because there's so many different chemicals and
right.
A lot of variability between batches and between on the way you make it. And if we want to get to that DIN number, then I think you're going to have to isolate it so much to the point where it's you're kind of losing the concept of medical cannabis. You're losing the concept of the entourage.
The entourage.
Even if entourage effect has not been proven, and I'm a believer in that fully, because we're not just treating one condition usually. Right. Anxiety always follows insomnia, it always follows chronic pain. Like, why are we isolating a lot of these these chronic conditions by giving isolated products? This is why a lot of patients who have these three symptoms and these three chronic conditions end up finding success with cannabis on one level or another, and they can start knocking on down medications. Like, again, like harm reduction tool.
It's like the first time on a recreational, like I brought CBD cannabis to a bachelor party. So 10 guys, all degenerate smokers, you know, the people I grew up with. Right, and I pull out this big chunk of CBD, and everyone's like, "Oh, nice!" You know, and I'm just like, "So everyone knows this is CBD only." And everyone's like, "Well, why would you bring?" I said, "I want everyone to roll some up and tell me what you think." And some chuckles and stuff. And a few minutes into the session, you know, you got the one guy who's like, "Oh, my shoulder is feeling much better." Because when you normally medicate, you know, like depending who you are, and again, take it with a grain of salt, your one friend who we all know over smokes, you know, they're the one asleep first kind of thing. And for all we know, they're silent in some of their pain, and that's why they're medicating, right? So just for them to know, shit, this would probably be helpful to me during the daytime, so I'm not taking naps at 12 o'clock. You know, so someone like myself, I have the luxury of dealing with a lot of our younger candidates at times, like being a parent. Parents do approach me all the time. Like, my son is blasting 20 bongs a day, high THC. He's 20. He has every right to shop in a recreational store. But he's willing to have some guidance and a conversation with you to kind of understand how we can make things a little more socially appropriate for the family, for his health, for your budget. You know what I mean? Like, those are all things that when people are willing to, that's what we're here for.
It's crazy to hear this DIN number, the insurance, you know, like there's so much room to go here, right?
You know, like there are, like, you know, you got Manulife, you got Sun Life, Great West Life, like and what's usually covered is like your MS, your cancer therapy, palliative care therapy. So it's like a lot of those outlier chronic, like really severe conditions that affect maybe 1-5% of the population. So it's not the majority, because the majority are coming in here for anxiety, sleep, and pain.
Yeah.
And it's majority, like, you know, 35-year-old to 65-year-old. But those, at the same time, like if we end up getting a DIN, those patients may potentially be covered.
Yeah.
But I think the DIN is going to be hard because, again, it's so much variability batch to batch.
Yeah.
That can you do a clinical trial on it? Yes. But I think there's going to be too much variability to really pinpoint a significant effect on? Is it the cannabinoid? Is it the terpenoid? Is it like?
You look at, I think the closest LP that's ever done it would be Bedrocan. Bedrocan was known for having meticulously very well, almost like the same lots continuously. And it's
consistency.
It was the way they had their grow operation from what I remember. With the way their system was attacked. And also so much so that a lot of people didn't even realize, Bedrocan milled flower was intentionally grown that way to be vaporized as opposed to combusted. And people who did try to combust it always noted that it was difficult, you know? Yeah. So there was something there in the way that they had their method of grow. It was right. Really unique, almost like press a button, walk away system. So if anyone's interested, because Bedrocan still does a lot of medicinal stuff in Europe, and they have a very unique cultivar system.
Interesting. Gosh, I have so many questions running through my head right now. And I kind of think, yeah, we're running out of time. But there's so many little questions that I want to pick your brain about. So I'm thinking I got to swing by the old farm here and some questions on some minor cannabinoids and this whole suppositories in the recreational market.
Our suppositories, so our partnership with Pleasure Peaks, so our good friend Antoinette Gomez, our partnership together, we're known as Peak Farm Labs.
Now, I got a quick question. Is that CBD, THC, one-to-one?
So it's one to three. And
nice.
So it's 10 milligram THC, 30 milligram CBD, and 1 milligram, 0 milligram THC to 50 milligram CBD.
Interesting.
So different use cases. But yeah, it's super exciting because, I mean, it's such a product that's definitely needed on this market. Yeah.
Right.
This is what, again, like dude, okay, we legalized it, and mate, it's what, been like 3-4 years?
Long enough.
We had the luxury and the, like, you know, like the benefit of legalizing this and one of the first G7 countries to do it. And what are we doing? We're sitting around making pre-rolls and arguing about vape shit. Like, come on, guys. And this is, I blame Health Canada also on the research side of this, because, like, again, I've talked to a lot of researchers. They're like, it's so red taped. There's so much blockage on this. It takes forever. There's a lot of restrictions, whatever. But Canada should realize that if you want to grow your economy in this, if you want to legalize this and make this an economy, make it an economy, we could be exporting IP. We could be exporting patents. We could have been the next Jazz Pharmaceuticals that bought Epidiolex for $700 billion. Like, come on, man. Canada could have had this established. Yeah, we invented insulin here. Great. Let's start inventing cannabinoids and THCA, THCV. Like, let's keep going with this. Let's see how far in depth we can get. And I think that's where innovation needs to go next. That's the next step of medical. It's like, stop talking about vapes and beverages, guys.
Thank you, Angelo Mascari and Raheem Dalla, for joining us on the Shake Podcast powered by Sports Cannabis. We truly appreciate the discussion and invaluable information you both provided. Make sure to keep up with them on Instagram at hybrid.farm or check them out on www.hybridfarm.ca. Thank you for listening to the Shake Podcast. Tune in next week at 8 a.m. for another episode, and make sure to follow us on Instagram at the Shake Podcast or check us out on www.sportscannabis.ca. I'm your host, Ryan Purvis, and we hope you have a very green week.